Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the guy who's getting peeled. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
They're peeling me.
That was the funniest line from that episode. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. I'll remember that for all my days.
Well, Brandon, today we have a very special guest. Just like I said at the end of the last episode, we have Rachel back. She's better than ever.
Better than ever. I got really excited when I heard that on the last episode. I was like, oh my god, that's me.
Well, hi, Rachel. How are you doing? It's been so long.
I know. It's been a hot minute. Been good. Been busy.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Me too.
In all my days, all I want is for everybody not to work. Work is work.
Same.
Just want everybody to enjoy life. Take it easy. But what you been up to? It's been a couple of months, I guess, since we last talked with you, because you were on for Cutting Cards.
Oh, that was a good episode, too. I also did really enjoy that was your number one pick. I'm like, yeah, I was there. I made it enjoyable.
It was a fun episode, yeah.
Everything's about me. So not too much. So the project I was working on last time, the 100 days, so I finished recording. Now I just have to actually get through editing.
Oof, good luck with that.
Yeah, so I've just been doing it bit by bit, and then in between I've been doing like a Pokemon Shield retrospective in 2023. Spoiler, story is still terrible. But I did get a shiny, so I was like, oh my god. Anyway.
Oh, it makes it all worth it then, right?
Yeah.
I never actually played Pokemon Sword or Shield, so I have no...
You are not missing anything.
Yeah, I dropped it pretty fast.
Dude, that story is so bad.
I haven't enjoyed a Pokemon game in a while. I know you really enjoyed Violet and Scarlet, but...
I did. It was ugly, but man, that story was really good.
I haven't heard of a good Pokemon story in a very long time.
It is.
Yeah, the very concept sounds very foreign to me.
It does, and I wish you could experience it without seeing how ugly that game is.
It's impossible.
I honestly wish they would have just gone to, 2.5D. Like,
that would
HD.
Have been preferred, yeah.
Yeah, just at least do a stylized version. There's still pixel games that are very popular right now, super popular with, indie developers. So why can't they just find a style, do something cool? They don't need to be. It's Pokemon. It's, one of the biggest media franchises in the world. You don't need to make it look good. Just make it look cool.
They just did Legends of Arceus or Arceus or whatever.
Dude, that one's so good.
Isn't it, not that bad looking, though?
It's, again, it's kind of stylized, though. It's, a little foggy looking.
Oh, okay.
But, no, that game is really fun. Because you could just, whip balls at people.
Oh, love that. I love doing
battle.
That.
You just throw the balls at the Pokemon and be like, get the ball!
Well, let me see. Brandon, anything cool happened to you this week? Did I ask you that already? I can't remember.
No, you didn't, and no, it didn't.
I knew it. Well, guys, I have a story for you. So, a couple of days ago, we got Jimmy John's, because Jimmy John's is great. Brandon, I'm sure you're really missing out on that Jimmy John's action now, but...
I've had it, once ever.
Oh, well, you're missing out. It's really great. So, I had this nice sandwich from Jimmy John's, and my father-in-law was at our house. So I had my sandwich on a nice little TV tray, and we went outside to go, see him off or whatever. We were gone for, 2 minutes, I'd say, probably 2 minutes. And we walk inside, and on the floor is the wrapper of the sandwich, unwrapped, like a human being had unwrapped it. There was a smattering of lettuce and 4 tomatoes, and the entire sandwich was gone. Because my dog ate it.
Oh, no.
She actually, literally, within 2 minutes. So she inhaled that sandwich.
She is a little saucy.
Except
dog.
The veggies.
It was ridiculous. She ate most of the lettuce. I think she couldn't get around it. But the tomatoes were just delicately spit out. And I was honestly impressed. It was crazy.
Wow.
Hold the tomatoes.
Yeah. So next time I order Jimmy John's, I got to remember, no tomatoes for the puppy.
No, pack it full of tomatoes and it becomes puppy proof.
Nope, nope, nope. She'd still inhale it and then bleh, tomatoes. It was stupid. I was really upset.
Yeah, that sucks.
I was just like, fucking dog. But you know what? You know what, you guys? We're here to talk about an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yay.
We just got done watching season 3, episode 5. I don't remember. 6, maybe? I don't
Something.
Know. Anyway, it's top billing with John Lovitz. So,
I love John Lovitz.
You have to love him. It's in his last name. Rachel, what did you think?
Lovitz.
I love it.
I was very surprised.
Oh, yeah, right? Me too.
I was very surprised, but in a good way.
It was fun, Brandon. Brandon, what did you think of this episode?
Yeah, so this episode is pretty simple. Like, not a whole lot happens in this episode, and it probably could be condensed down to a few minutes, which is what I said about Cutting Cards. So, got a theme going on here with Rachel and these episodes. But I will say, I was actually like, God damn, John Lovitz can act.
I love it.
He can play a loser so well.
Yeah, his character, Barry, is so pretty good. Loser. I felt so bad for Barry the whole damn time, though.
Yeah, I felt bad for Barry most of the time. There's maybe one thing that I was like, I don't know if I would do that. But
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about it.
I'm sure we'll know it before it even starts, because it's literally the picture for this one that they show. Well, we're being very vague here, you guys. You want to just get into the episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So our episode starts up with a little musical ditty. And the camera pans through the spines of a few books. There's the complete works of William Shakespeare, the Iliad, and a couple other ones that I can't see them. I don't know what they were. Eventually, we pan over to our best buddy. It's the Crypt Keeper, who's in a suit and a bow tie. And he's sitting in a comfy-looking leather chair. I don't know who put it down there for the Crypt Keeper in his basement, but wow, I'm glad it wasn't me.
Well, he's looking fly as hell, though.
He does. He's styling. He welcomes us as culture vultures, which I love. I am a culture vulture. To another edition of Mashed to Pieces Theater. That sets him into a fit of the giggles, and he tells us tonight he asks the question, to be or not to be? Or in this case, an actor stuck with an average face, aw, who's so sick and tired of auditioning. He's willing to do almost anything. Did I say almost? And he giggles. He calls this sickening saga top billing. Just right away, they're like, John Lovitz, what the hell's up with your face, dude?
I know, poor guy.
This hideous, disgusting man.
Which is funny because, like, the description that I read last week for this one, they were all just like, this ugly motherfucker.
This piece of shit. John Lovitz. Not the character. The actor.
Yeah, right? Everything is just like, John Lovitz is ugly. He's not that ugly.
He's very average.
You know what? Yeah, I haven't seen him, like, young in a long time.
Maybe he just like came out old.
He's got that Benjamin Button thing going on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look up. I just gotta look up. Oh, he has aged.
What are you looking up?
I looked up John Lovitz.
You're looking up John Lovitz now?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen John Lovitz old in a while. Now I have.
He's okay. Always been.
He looks pretty similar to what he looks like in this episode. He's got almost the exact same hair.
Except for it's just like a little gray now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks exactly the same. I'm looking at his IMDb.
I love it. That's going to be the joke this entire episode. So we take a peek at the picture for this episode, and it shows us John Lovitz strangling some dude with a rope backstage while some weirdo with a skull in his hands is performing on the main stage. I said it looks all right.
I'd like to think John Lovitz has this picture hanging in his bedroom.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Oh, I have another note. It says, John is getting him good.
Yes, accurate.
I can't wait to see what happens.
Oh, my God.
Now we fade into the episode, and immediately some lady on the phone, whose name is Sheila, asks if somebody still got the old drug addictions. Sheila here was told he was finished with his rehab, but also now she hears he isn't. She wants to know the scoop, so tells the person on the phone to get back to her when he's not in rehab. I mean, sure, Sheila did date him, but that was years ago, whole fucking lifetime before all this drugs business. Thankfully, Sheila lets us know that he was pretty all right in bed, so, I mean, our questions are answered. I'm satisfied.
Riveting stuff that has a lot of bearing on this episode.
It's basically the beginning, Brandon. It sets the whole mood.
Basically, yes.
Sheila's got to run, so ciao, baby. As she's talking, the camera pans us over to a door where somebody is kind of creeping up to it a bit. The door opens up, and in walks John Lovitz with a deadpan face.
A deadpan average-looking face, yes.
Yes. So hideous. Oh, my God.
I know. I almost couldn't watch the whole rest
Take
of the episode.
Take off the monster makeup, John.
Oh, no.
He very slowly makes his way over to Sheila, who looks up saying, Leon, where's Jenny? And John just looks at her, and plays around with some string in his hands and says,
"Jenny's dead. And you're next, bitch."
And he kind of slowly walks over to Sheila and puts the string up to her neck as she says with no emotion, "No, don't, Leon, don't. John here," whose character's name is not Leon at all, it's Barry, tells her the silent scream is the loudest. Sheila kind of winces at him and says, "That's great, thanks for coming in," and pushes him away. And Barry here looks a touch destroyed as he says, "That's it?" And Sheila tells him, "Yeah, you're terrific, but you're not quite what I'm looking for." Barry asks her what she needs, since he's an actor. And Sheila mulls it over, saying, I need somebody heavier. And Barry smiles, suggesting that he wears some padding. But Sheila's all, "No, not heavier. I mean, just bigger." Barry's all, "But girl, I really need this job." Sheila knows, but says that he is all wrong for this part. She needs a killer.
I feel so bad for him. He goes, "I haven't ate in a week." And it's like, "Oh, please, lady, just give him this part."
It's like right away, like everybody's just like, "Barry, suck."
I know. I think that's what it is. It's like, he's the underdog.
Yeah.
And we're like, "Go, little Barry, go. You're going to get that part."
In response to all this, Barry grabs her by the neck and starts shaking her a bit, yelling, "How about this? I don't have any money. I haven't eaten in a week. I need this fucking job." Sheila thinks that's great, but she needs somebody physically larger with a tan. Barry, in all his pale John Lovett skin, stares at her, and then we cut over to him exiting her room, and we see there's a line of other potential murderers waiting for their tryout. He moseys his way over to an elevator and slaps the button, yelling, "Fuck!" He kind of looks around for a second and then walks over to a little paper that's for the casting of Hamlet, where it says most parts pay $250. He rips off a little piece of that paper so he can call it later, and then runs over to the elevator, but it closes in his face. Actually, I don't think it has the number on there. I think it just has the address, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is the address.
I haven't seen one of those in forever, though. The paper where it's got, like, the cuts and you can rip off the one that you want.
Damn, Facebook killed it.
Oh, you know what else? Probably COVID. And also, I don't go, like, leave the house, so I would never have an opportunity to see it.
That's the best thing. I love not leaving the house.
Oh, if I could not leave the house every day, which I don't most days, God. I'd be happy. Ugh. So I'm happy most days.
I'm not leaving the house right now.
Oh my gosh.
Ew.
Me too.
I'm living the life.
Some guy gets off the elevator and recognizes Barry and asks how the hell he's doing. He asks Barry how Lisa is. And Barry tells us she's fine and is the best thing that ever happened to him. Also, he's very clearly not interested in talking to this man at all.
Yes. Clear animosity between them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is that this guy's name is Winton, and that's a weird name.
Are you serious? His name's Winton?
Winton.
Winton.
Yes. Well, the dude Winton asks, "Hey, you remember that old rat hole we all used to live in?" And Barry sure does, adding that he still lives there. He tries to leave, but Winton's all, "Aw, come on, Barry, you can't still be mad at me because I work for a living." Well, Barry sure can, and asks, "So, on your resume, does it still say actor?" And Winton chuckles, saying, "Man, you really cracked me up. Haven't you got it yet? This business doesn't have anything to do with acting." Barry's fucking done now and tells Winton to get away from him and goes to walk away. But Winton tells him an actor is one who acts, not one who collects unemployment. You should spend a little less money on classes and more on some decent clothes and maybe some blue contact lenses. You might work for a change.
And maybe stop looking like John Lovitz.
Right?
That's the key problem throughout the episode.
That's step one.
Poor Barry here. Man, Winton, what a douchebag.
He sucks. He's a sellout.
Let's see if anybody else in Barry's life sucks. Barry gets real with Winton now, saying, "You know what? I've seen your work, and let me tell you, I really love that commercial you did. The one where you did a little tango on top of that disposable douche."
Suck it, Winton.
Honestly, I would like to see that commercial. It sounds hilarious.
I wonder how you can, like, sell douche.
You do a tango on it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Douches sell themselves.
Honestly. There's nobody that they're trying to pull in their market. Their marketing already knows about them.
Winton sighs, saying, "Sure, I do commercials. I got $50,000 last year for one spot alone." Barry's all, "I don't do, okay? I act? I don't know what... I don't know the context of that."
I feel it's like that's like line. Just douchey, like douchey. There we are, back to that again. kind of like, you know, "I'm an actor. I'm too good for whatever." It's like, dude, you're not good enough for anything right now. Barry, do the fucking douche commercial.
Like, do the tango. Yeah. Well, he says that this is Hamlet. It's about acting. And he hands Winston the little paper. And I'm going to have a hard time not saying Winston. I just know it. I know it. That little paper that he just ripped off. So Winton looks at it, he laughs, and asks, what kind of theater would be in that dump of an area? And Barry snatches that paper back and he's got to go. But Winton tells him, Barry, you're 35 years old. And in my notes, I put oof, because I'm almost 35 years old.
That's okay. Exactly what's in my notes. I am 35 years
old, so... Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at that and I was like, oh, God. John Lovitz is 35 here?
He just has always looked that age.
That's what a 35-year-old looks like.
Is that
if you look at like 90s and 80s movies, what like 30-year-olds look like? It was like 40 to 50-year-olds now.
It's yeah, and then like you look at the teenagers and they look like they're 25. It's weird.
Yes.
Well, they are.
Well, yeah, that's true. He wants to know how much longer you're gonna do free theater that no one wants to see. And Barry enters into the elevator telling Winton that Hamlet doesn't need an audience. It's a classic. Winton shrugs and says,
but Lisa deserves better, Barry.
Barry stares at him as the elevator door closes. So we cut over to a woman and they're in an office and she says, Barry. Mel can do Shakespeare, but Mel has the look. We see that Barry is in another little office getting some more bad news. And he walks away saying, Jesus Christ, I'm a hell of an actor. I'm a lot more talented than a lot of the assholes out here making it. Guys like Winton Robbins. The woman, his agent, giggles, saying, no, Winton Robbins has a face. He has the look. Barry's all, and I have talent. And the agent lady throws up her hand, saying, yeah, talent's great and all, but you haven't gotten the look, you know. I mean, you could have the look. I introduced you to that plastic surgeon. But Barry yells, he isn't a prostitute, and he's not going to alter his gorgeous John Lovett's face.
That face sells.
Has no one in the 90s heard of character actors?
No. It's plastic surgeon all the way, Brandon.
Yes.
Like, he's not going to be the next Harrison Ford, but...
He could be the next John Lovitz.
I heard. Yes, yeah, he could.
Exactly.
He literally drew me to this episode. It's so sad.
You were getting into this episode being like, everybody's going to love John Lovitz.
I love John Lovitz.
I feel so bad for him, even though he's so ugly.
Get this man a paper bag.
Oh, well, you know, he could act his way out of a paper bag. It's John Lovitz.
Definitely. He is John Lovitz.
He walks back and he hands her a little paper for Hamlet, telling her to just do her damn job and call these people and get him that part. The agent tells him, look, Barry, I've been in the biz a long time and I've seen him come and I've seen him go. She tells Barry she thinks it's time for him to go. Barry can't believe what he's hearing, saying, no, you're just going to let me go? She's all, well, dreams are great, but I have expenses. So I think it's time for you to find some representation that's more suitable to your needs. And she takes out some dental floss and starts flossing because she's totally done with Barry.
Yeah, just to show how much she doesn't care.
Such a power move to just sit there and floss in front of somebody, you know?
Which in 2023 has different connotations. And then all of a sudden she's like busted out in a Fortnite dance on her desk.
She could do both at the same time.
That would be so funny.
Well, no, because you got to have the arm.
No, you got to have your hands at your hips.
Damn. Barry tells her, fine, I'll get the part myself. Also, I'll be brilliant. Also, I'll take my rave reviews of 250 a week and shove them down your fucking throat. Yeah. Agent Lady is totally unfazed by this as Barry walks out of her office. With Barry, he's making his way up some stairs to an apartment, probably. And there's some dude using the elevator with a bunch of his stuff. And Barry yells at him for not using the freight elevator because he had to climb up 5 flights of stairs and he's tuckered out. I would be too. Mm-hmm. The dude just walks away as Barry yells at him. Then Barry looks at the stuff and says, wait, that's Mysterio. And you're rummaging in my apartment. What the hell are you doing? Now Lisa walks out saying, oh, Barry, I was just taking what's mine and enough of your stuff to make up what you owe me. Barry doesn't understand. And Lisa struggles to tell him what's the hubba. When a man walks out of the apartment with a lamp in his hands and tells Barry he's a loser.
All right.
Well, that should explain everything.
Keep kicking this poor boy when he's down.
Like, the first 15 minutes of this episode are just like, see how bad John Lovitz's life is?
It works because I am constantly like, oh no, Barry, poor Barry.
In these people's defenses, they don't know how bad Barry had of a day so far.
I assume all of his days are like this.
Oh no.
Yeah, you're probably right. Lisa explains that she promised Mr. Kroger some things, and he agreed not to have you thrown in jail for vagrancy. Barry just kind of stares at her for a few seconds, and she tells him it's over, Barry.
I'm moving in with Bruno.
Barry's all,
Bruno?
And Lisa says they met in class. And Bruno walks out of the apartment eating a piece of chicken?
Yes, I was like, what the fuck? What a power move.
Flossing, so many power eating chicken.
Moves in this episode.
All done by not
He's
Barry.
Everybody just dunking on Barry.
Lisa meekly introduces each other, but Bruno doesn't give a shit. He's Bruno. Barry tells Lisa he loves her, and Lisa's all, oh, yeah, look, we gotta go. I left some chicken in the fridge for you.
Ooh.
You can have Bruno's leftovers.
Well, let's see if he gets to have that chicken.
Bruno left a single chicken wing.
Oh my god. Just like in The Secret.
Enjoy your scraps.
It's the same chicken wing. They've just used it every season.
Yep.
Good for them.
She walks away to go stand next to Bruno as Barry's all, chicken? Lisa then tells them, we could still be friends, and then awkwardly walks away with Bruno. The guy who called Barry a loser walks out of his apartment with a blender and takes a bite of Barry's delicious fridge chicken, then walks away.
It's the last thing he had left.
Yes.
Well, it gets a little worse here because there's a sign on the door that says eviction notice, City of New York. No one to enter this premise by order of the court. So he can't even go in and get that fridge chicken.
Oh.
Oh.
Barry looks like he doesn't like that sign very much as we hear the guy call him a loser again, like just kind of like a
why
you're a loser, Barry. I don't know. I just remember in that moment just, ago.
He's yelling up. He's yelling up the stairs.
Is that what it is?
You're a loser, Barry.
That makes more sense. Now we cut over to the streets of New York, Canal Street to be specific. And Barry's walking his way down, kind of hand combing his hair. And the camera pans us over to see he's headed to 985 and a half. Or the place where the Hamlet job is. There's some kind of suave music here playing, you guys. I didn't know how to really explain it, but I love it. I'm going to assume you guys love it too. And we stop. The music that plays. Kind of that sleuthy, suave, like, John Lovitz music.
John Lovitz theme?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to call it. And we see Barry stop. He looks at a piece of paper, and he says, oh, you got to be kidding. Then we watch as Barry makes his way down a crappy alleyway where there's just a bunch of boxes and loose papers everywhere. That's kind of what I envision New York to look like. No offense to New York. Over at a door, we see a man pounding on it. And Barry walks up asking if this is where the theater is. And the man turns around and it's goddamn Winton.
Fucking Winton.
Fucking Winton. God. You don't need this. You got the douche ad.
Yeah, what the hell? You made 50 grand last year, Winton.
Yeah, what are you even doing?
Barry asks what the hell he's doing here. And Winton smiles saying that he's here to audition. Barry doesn't understand why he'd want to audition for Hamlet, which is exactly what we just said. Mm-hmm. And Winton tells him that he came here to make a point to Barry. Barry probably spent all night going over the script. Well, Barry sure did, since you don't just walk into an audition for Hamlet. God, you can't walk into there cold, okay, you gosh darn idiot. It's poetry, for Christ's sake, you guys. The part requires an actor, not a face. Winton's all fine, and had this been a theater, I bet you I would have gotten the part. Smell you later, Barry. Winton turns to walk away, but the door opens up, and a man with an incredible helmet of curly hair steps out, and Barry asks if this is Hamlet.
I would say this is, like, my actual favorite character.
I kind of love it. His name is Beaks, for some reason.
Yes.
Kind of love Beaks.
Love He's a character. Him.
He's fabulous, is what I'll say about him. I love him. The man says, no, this is Shangri-La. Is that what it is?
Something like
Shangri-La.
That.
Shangri-La.
Sure. Shangri-La. Look, I tried to phoneticize it in my notes. I didn't do a good job. He asks, do you recognize it? What is Shangri-La? Is that another play?
I've heard that before. Shangri-La.
It's like a paradise.
Oh.
Shangri-La, darling.
You're so cultured, Brandon.
It's a remote, beautiful imagery place where life approaches perfection, a.k.a. a utopia. Okay.
Wow. Okay. I wouldn't agree with that, but I love it.
You know what? That's kind of sweet that as gross as that alley is and like all the papers and all that stuff, he sees this beautiful, no, darling, this is Shangri-La. Like, it's just so, I don't know.
Wonderful.
It's
crazy.
We'll touch back on that later.
He also calls himself the Dalai Lama. And he says, let me guess, you're here to audition? Barry looks at Winton for a moment, then stutters out, yes, I am. the man, whose name is Beaks, like I said, tells Barry, well, don't just stand around, and beckons them inside. The two walk past Curly Sue in the doorway, and Winton gets really close to Beaks and says, ouch, or who says ouch and then closes the door. I don't know what that was. But
did he step on his foot?
Maybe.
No, it's just because Winton is so sexy looking. Oh. Beaks is like, ouch, my heart.
Okay. I get it now.
I mean, listen, Winton is not my type, but...
But it's Beaks'
In type. 1991, Beaks, that yeah. was peak male form. And John Lovitz was absolute bottom.
Oh. Inside, we see, like, this teenager, I guess... He looks like a typical teenager, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. No, he looks like he's supposed to be Keanu Reeves.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I was just going to say that.
He does, right? He looks like he should be in Bill and Ted.
Yeah, someone on the auditions were like, we want a Keanu Reeves type. And this guy was like, I can do that.
Well, he's got this skull in his hands. And I put in my notes here, he looks 90s as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
He says, alas, poor Yarick. I knew him, Horatio. The yeah. fellow of yeah. infinite jest, excellent and fancy. He has. But his audition is interrupted by another man who's got this fur hat on, and he's got a mustache penciled on with a bunch of eyeliner. Fabulous.
This guy is fabulous.
I love him, too. This cast is amazing.
He's dressed like a Disney villain, and I love it.
He screams,
oh, no, no, no! It's wrong! It's all wrong!
And he storms up on stage. He snatches that skull and explains Hamlet is holding in his hands the skull of Yorick. He sees what 20 years of rotting in the ground have done to his friend. That's why he's so upset. And the kid nods, asking who, Yorick? Nelson, the manager, because his name's Nelson, yells, no, you dunce, Hamlet!
Hamlet!
You pick up the skull, you look at it, you talk to it, you even kiss it. And he smooches that fake skull a few times. He tells the kid to smooch it too, and the kid's all, but this shit's plastic. Nelson tells him, oh, you won't kiss plastic, huh? Get off of my stage. And he pushes that kid right off the stage. Then looks at the skull and yells for Beaks, that they lost another one. Where are his props? Beaks gets a little sassy, rolling his eyes, saying, yes, your bloatedness. And walks away to go get more props, I guess. Nelson facepalms for a moment, then swivels and points, what are you doing? You're an actor. I command you to act. And we see he's pointing at some old dude just kind of standing there. And the old man complains that he doesn't have any lines. And Nelson runs up to him, grabs his shirt, and yells, that's no excuse. Living is acting. Being is acting. This is the gravedigger scene. You're a gravedigger? So dig, or I'll ram this shovel down your putrid little throat. So that old man pretends to dig. Winton side-eyes Barry, saying, this is a load of barnacles. I forgot I slipped that joke in there.
That's great.
Barry agrees that he's demanding, but that he respects that. Then he steps up, saying, excuse me, I'm here to audition for the role of Hamlet. Nelson's all, what? Who broke my concentration? Barry points at Winton, who's pointing at Barry. And Nelson tells everyone to get the fuck out of his sight. And then points at Winton and Barry, telling them to come to his office.
What is that, a broom closet?
It's very small. In Nelson's office, Barry and Winton walk on in, but it's really small. And they hit their heads on the light because this thing is like a broom closet.
Good for him.
He's taking charge. We see Nelson walk in too, and now he has a fancy monocle on.
He's so fancy.
He looks like the guy from Monopoly. I had to think about what it was called for a second.
Oh my god! You know, that iconic game.
He looks at the boys and asks, do you know who I am? I am Nelson Holloway, director of stage and screen. Winton and Barry look at each other, and then Barry extends his hand for a handshake, saying, it's such a pleasure to meet him. He's Barry. He's here to audition for Hamlet. And he pulls out a little slice of paper, saying that he's highly, highly qualified for the part. He's even done the part in several workshops, and he knows the entire role by heart. Nelson walks up to the camera. His face is right in there. And he says, do you? And he lifts his eyebrow, which makes his monocle fall. Do you know that we're planning the most stunning production of Hamlet ever? I want to bring to the stage a Hamlet that will look and feel and be so real. And the people will stumble from their seats, tumble from the theater, their minds reeling, and retch their guts up on the curb. I've never seen Hamlet. Is it like that exciting and interesting?
I've never actually gotten through anything from William Shakespeare because I just kind of get lost and there's like too many words.
Mm. Brandon, how about you?
It's flowery and stuff like that, but I'm like, no.
I know the basic gist.
I don't know a single thing. Is Hamlet the one that Lion King is based off of?
Yes.
Okay. Then I've seen the Lion King.
Good job.
Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your top pick for Hamlin. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Whether this is your first episode that you've listened to or you've listened to everything that we have, we are so thankful for you spending some time with us. If you're enjoying the show and want to help support us, check us out at patreon.com/privateisland. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get instant access to early ad-free episodes the moment I finish editing. Higher tiers get more stuff like bonus episodes, bloopers, t-shirts, and more. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the Beths, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Rad Magical, and Faith, the Goths, Stephen, Matt, Lindsay, Aaron, Brittany, Rachel, Sid, and Corey, the Citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Ryan, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and you boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. Find us on social media. We're at UANPod on Twitter or X, at Up All Night Podcast on Instagram and Threads, at Up All Night HA Podcast on YouTube, and at Private Island Presents on TikTok. I make a lot of videos, some memes, and more for every episode that we cover. Now that I'm back home, I'll be able to go live again on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC. Lately, I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley and some Dead by Daylight here and there, but I really do want to get back into speedrunning Resident Evil, so I hope you stop by while I'm live and you chat with me. Our guest this week, Rachel, she also streams, so I hope you check her out too. Links will be in the description. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for his work on the music for our show. Aside from this theme, Dating Start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thanks so much for listening in for now. I'll let you get back to the episode, and I will be back here next week. So, talk to you soon. Bye, everybody. My favorite part here is that a toilet flushes in the distance, and Winton is all, yeah, okay, that's all yours, Barry. Tells him to break a leg. Actually, you know what? Break both of them. And he turns to walk away, but Nelson calls out, you! High cheekbones, fair skin, slightly frosted hair? You must be Danish. Winton's not. He says he's Polish, but who cares? He's perfect.
Close enough.
The part is his. The two men say, what? And Nelson repeats that the part is Winton's. Barry's all, shit, I thought yous was leaving. And Winton says, nope, not anymore. I'm Hamlet. Barry complains that Winton didn't even read for the part, but Nelson tells him, too bad, I've chosen. Now, young man, there's a dressing room for you down the hall. Barry demands to know how he could cast such an asshole for Hamlet. And Nelson swivels around saying that he has the look. And then walks out of the room. Winton looks back at Barry and chuckles and tells him, what'd I tell you, Barry? Barry's all, but you don't know anything about this play. Winton doesn't give a shit. He's got the part.
Lion King isn't out for like another 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's heard of it. Nobody knows anything about Hamlet until Lion King rolls around. He slaps Barry on the face and giggles as Barry calls him a son of a bitch a few times. We cut over to the stage where Nelson is telling everyone to gather around and meet all the actors and shit. Hamlet gets fitted for his costume and Beaks is in charge of showing him around. And the camera falls back a little and we see Barry as he's just staring at all this shit. He turns around, though, and he looks pissed as hell, and the music gets real tense, as if he's reaching his breaking point. We warp backstage, where we see Barry lock a door, and then stealthily shuffle further into the room with hatred in his eyes. He sees his target, which is Winton, and whispers to himself,
from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody, or be nothing worth.
He grabs a little rope hanging on a hanger, and very slowly makes his way over to Winton, who's trying on some new boots. He gets behind him, and he hesitates for a second, saying something about being a coward. Then Winton notices him and says, oh, come to congratulate me, huh? Well, I hope you learned something today, Barry. You're overdue, you know. This isn't about art. It's about commerce, people standing in line and buying tickets. It's about product. If you invested half as much energy into the business as you do maintaining that stupid struggling artist crap... And then he reaches behind him and rips a tag or something off of his coat, saying, what the hell is this? Suddenly, Barry attacks. He twists that rope over Winton's neck and starts strangling him. He lifts him up, calling him a damn rat, and he's been working for that Hamlet role. He pulls Winton to the ground, strangling him, as Winton says that he's not Hamlet, through gurgles. once he's dead, Barry's all, you can say that again. And we cut over to another back room, and that suave music is back. I love it. And we see Barry carrying Winton's body to the laundry tote, and he plops that in. And then the phone rings, like a phone in another room. So he covers Winton's body up in sheets and listens at the door for a moment. And he sighs and then walks away as the phone continues to ring.
When I first saw this, I was like, why are they even showing another door?
Yeah, I didn't really understand.
And I was like, that's so weird. And it's like now, because I've rewatched it twice and I'm watching it while you're like giving the descriptions.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that you notice the second and third time around that I'll kind of bring up at the end because I don't want to spoil too much.
I love that. Yeah, when I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, I should watch this again and see if I get the clues. But I didn't watch it again. So that's coming later. Okay. We do cut over to like a keyhole and we're looking into it and we see that's where the phone is ringing. And there's just kind of like a person that's sitting there. At first, I thought it was Winton, like Barry moved Winton's body to this seat so that it would be like less conspicuous or something. It's not Winton, though. Winton's in the laundry hamper.
Spoiler.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was while I was watching it.
Yeah,
it was interesting. I'm intrigued. We cut again over to the main stage where Nelson is pretending to shovel some dirt. And the gravedigger old man is there watching, like he's just flicking hay into the air. Nelson's throwing that fake dirt up in the air, and he's singing and he's dancing around, and then he slams the shovel to the ground, yelling, "That's how it's done! Props!" Where's the props for the gravedigger scene? Beaks pops in, saying that he's working on it, and props don't grow on trees. Barry stops on stage, and Nelson screams at him, asking what he wants. Can't you see that he's interrupting rehearsal? Also, where's your friend? He should be up on the stage this instant! Barry Monotone says that he's afraid his friend left. Nelson's all, left? A Hollowell production? Barry tells him it's
the worst case of stage fright I've ever seen.
He was totally blue. It's because he was strangled.
I know, I love that. He's like, he was totally blue.
He was dead tired. Nelson can't believe what he's hearing and yells, "What are we going to do?" Barry steps up, suggesting that he takes the part for himself. But Nelson tells him, "No way, Jose, you are all wrong. You don't have the look." Barry assures him he's an actor and can give him what he's looking for. But Barry tells him, "No, no, no. Wait, yes. If I change my interpretation slightly, well then, the part is yours." Barry asks if he means it, and Nelson tells him, "Yup." Beaks, show him to his dressing room. Barry is super excited now, and it sounds like he's finally got his break, you guys.
Nice. Things are really looking up for Barry.
It's all rolling up Barry's now, you know? Mm-hmm. Over in the dressing room, Barry is practicing his lines and pulling at his tights. I forgot to mention Winton's tights. He's getting strangled, you can see his dick and everything.
I thought you were going to dedicate a few paragraphs to that. But, okay.
I forgot. It reminded me of David Bowie.
Yes.
Well, anyway, so he's pulling at his tights and... Does it really matter what he's saying? It really doesn't, so I'm not going to bother repeating his lines.
He's acting! He's quoting Hamlet, I think, or I think he's running lines.
Yeah, it's really just lines from Hamlet. Nelson pops in, asking if he's ready for the final run-through, and Barry says, I haven't even done a rehearsal yet. But Nelson assures him he doesn't need a rehearsal. Barry assures Nelson that Hamlet is a tough role, and he can't do it without doing a rehearsal. But that one kid from before with the skull steps up, and he's saying, "Whoa, who said you're playing Hamlet?" "I'm playing Hamlet. Didn't you see me up there before with the plastic skull? I was supposed to smooch." Nelson looks at Beaks, asking if he tagged the costumes like he was supposed to. And Beaks is all, "Yeah, of course I did." "Oh, wait, what's this on the ground?" And Beaks picks up that little tag that Winton tore off and hands it to Barry. And he sees that the part is for Yorick. Barry throws that shit to the side, saying, "But Yorick's been dead for like 23 years.
It's just that subtle realization. John Lovett's like, you know, like, haha, okay, yeah. And then it's like when he's finally piecing together. Oh, my God. He's just so good.
He really is. I do like John Lovett. Nelson steps closer, nodding and saying that they've had a hell of a time casting that part. And the kid steps up saying, "Someone keeps stealing the skull." And Barry starts giggling, saying that that's crazy, and asks Beaks for help. And Beaks is all,
"Certainly, sir. Just slip into this hood."
And he raises up a nasty, bloody hood. You know, like an executioner hood.
Yeah.
The phone starts ringing in the distance again, and Barry tells them that they're all mad. Fucking nuts, in fact. It starts walking away. He walks to another room and locks the door behind him, and they start knocking on it, and Barry walks over to the door with the phone ringing, calling for help. He grabs some keys, he opens that shit up, as the door behind him starts to, like, jiggle. And Nelson gets the door open just as Barry walks into his door, and he runs inside to talk with the dude that's sitting at the ringing telephone. He turns it around, and it's the dead body of some guy with his throat slashed.
Oh, whoops.
And the camera slowly pans down the dead guy's face, and we see he's wearing a shirt with a badge and a title of Teasdale Home for the Criminally Insane. Barry's eyes widen, and he looks at a sign that reads the Teasdale House Rules. Number one, be courteous wherever possible, but firm when necessary. Two, situations don't happen, they develop. And number three, remember where you are and respect it. He looks over and out of the window to the hallway. And this is really where the episode just kind of goes to left field, and I love it.
Yeah, and it like hits its fucking peak.
Mm-hmm. There's two more dead bodies on the ground, and there's just blood smeared everywhere. He sees there's some bars, and he looks through that to a couple more windows in the hallways to see even more dead workers. Finally, he answers the phone, and there's a person on the other end saying, "Hello? Thank goodness, we've been trying to call you for hours." But it looks like Nelson, Beeks, and the kid have already made their way into the room. And Nelson tells him, "I know how you feel. I really wanted someone with high cheekbones." And he lifts up an axe.
He's just gonna keep cutting him down until the end, pun intended.
We were looking for somebody without that John Lovitz face, you know?
Poor John Lovitz!
The telephone voice calls out, "Who are those voices?" as Barry shuffles behind the desk. Nelson tells him his friend looked much more like the part. But don't worry, it's showtime, and Barry grabs the bars of the cell and screams as Nelson slashes him with an axe.
Jesus.
I like the, like, he could have been like, "Hey guys, no, I already killed him. You can just take his face," but nope.
Nope. Had a shit life and had a shit death.
Oh my God. It's so sad.
Poor Barry. We fade to black, and when we come back, we see that kid playing Hamlet, and he has a bloody skull in his hands with one eye missing. He calls out, "Poor Yorick," and smooches that skull. He performs some more Hamlet as the camera zooms over to Beeks and Nelson, and Nelson thinks he was wrong about that man. He does have the look after all. Beeks nods, and the camera continues zooming past them and into the darkness. We fade to the alleyway outside the building as some cops roll up. They get out of their car, and one answers their radio saying that they haven't heard any more screams, but there could still be hostages. They need to be extremely careful. The cameraman keeps walking through the hallway to show us all the crap around there. There's bottles and trash until we see the sculpted face of Barry in a trash heap with one eye missing.
Oh, boy.
And then a dog runs up and snatches Barry's face. And that's the end of the tale.
Even in death, this guy can't get a break.
I know, it's so sad.
What a, like, this is one of those episodes where, like, it's good. Like, you're watching it, you're entertained, you want to know what's happening next. And then he kills Winton, and you're like, oh, shit, what's going to happen next? And you could never fucking guess what's going to happen next.
So, while doing the third rewatch, I guess I'll say, while you were describing it, when they go to, like, get Winton fitted for his costume, they measure his neck and his head, and that's it.
That's awesome.
Like, but again, I didn't catch it until we were talking about it, going through it, and it was the third time watching it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even notice.
That's great.
That's cool.
And also, they talk about how, like, they've had skulls before, but they all get stolen.
Yeah.
And how the kid didn't want to kiss the plastic skull because he wanted the real deal.
He wanted the real deal. I mean, that skull looked phenomenal. The actual prop master on Tales from the Crypt is so good. And that was an excellent, like, spooky, unsettling skull.
I wonder why they left one eyeball in, though.
I don't know. Pizzazz, the theater.
Just to show how fresh it is.
Yeah.
I love the imagery of them scooping out one of John Lovitz's eyeballs.
They're like, no, just one. We only have room in the budget for one eyeball.
Oh, that's so fun. I loved it. I thought this episode was great.
I honestly, yeah, like, it did not go where I thought it was going to go. But I knew John Lovitz was never going to have a happy end because it's Tales from the Crypt.
Poor John Lovitz.
But I just hoped that Winton would get his, and then Barry's riding high playing Hamlet. And he sure didn't get to play Hamlet.
No. He tried to tell him. He said, "I'm not Hamlet." He's Yorick. He did.
That was the other thing. I thought that he just had a break, and he's like, stop quoting Hamlet at me, you dick. I'm not fucking Hamlet.
Back with the Crypt Keeper, we see a hanging skeleton, and the camera pans us down as Crypty's saying, bravo, encore, and he's clapping with his little puppet hands. Then he says, well, Barry asked for the part, and he got it. But typical Barry, they still couldn't use his face. It's just as well, the critics would have cut him to pieces. And he laughs again.
I love his little jokes so much.
They're so cute. Then he picks up the phone saying that he's calling his agent, since he's waited all his death to play the part of Yorick. So until next time, kiddies. Hello? I'd like to speak with my agent. What do you mean he's in a beating? And then that's the end of the episode. What do you guys think? Final thoughts here? I mean, we kind of already said it. I thought this episode was pretty great.
I thought it was pretty good. It's good. Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with it.
I don't know. Like, it was a good disappointing ending, as weird as that sounds.
I think it ended in a way that you wouldn't expect it to end, but it does it in a really great way because it has those clues there. So on a rewatch, you can piece it together and be like, oh, I just missed everything. But again, like, it's so out of left field.
Is this theater attached to this, you know,
I think so.
Criminally insane house, or does that facility just have a theater?
I think it's one of those facilities where it's like rehabilitating people, so they have like a little section where they can, you know, do their arts and crafts and stuff,
practicing Hamlet, and then they're like, well, we want to actually perform, and then they take over.
Yeah, and you know, going back to like the clues and stuff, like Winton was like, hey, this is in like a piece of shit section in the neighborhood, and it shows us that. So I don't know, it's good. I like it.
So sad. Barry was so desperate.
I mean, $250 though.
If only Barry just did the douche commercials.
Right?
You know what's weird to me though is that the way this episode is presented is like this is in the criminally insane area, and why was there like audition flyers for it?
I don't know. Who put those up?
Yeah, did they kill everybody and then go around and be like, we got to get some more people?
I kind of was thinking that too, cuz like I'm no body scientist, but they didn't look as decomposed as you would think that they would.
Yeah,
if it was like a week or something. That is definitely not a week's worth of body rot.
And if it was, like, why weren't they ever like, man, it smells like death in here. What the hell's going on?
Right. Like, as decomposed, and like, it should just smell terrible. But then again, if you're that desperate for $250... You're going to look over a lot of red flags.
I guess if I could add anything, it would have been that like Barry and Winton are like, damn, it smells like shit in here. But that's okay. I mean, aside from that, I think it was a really great episode. Do you guys, did you guys get any morals of the story?
Sometimes not getting what you ask for is what you need.
Yeah, I think that is a good moral for this one.
Because if he would have just took the L, went about his way, and then his problem would have been taken care of. Winton would have been dead.
It is delicious irony, isn't it?
But yeah. I also don't think that they would have found out that somebody took over that place without him answering the phone. I'm sure eventually they would have got there, but...
I don't know. Those cops... Well, you don't know how much time has passed between when Barry was, you know, scalped and... So
I was going to say, like, I'm assuming that that would take, like, what? A half hour? I mean, I'm not 23
minutes,
no.
Actually.
I watch a lot of crime shows. I'm just saying, I'm not a murderer. There are not people in my basement.
I mean, we could probably put that on your resume. Can scalp a man in 23 minutes.
But like, how good? You know what I mean? Like I don't know. Disposal of body takes a while.
There was no other pieces of Barry, though. They seamlessly ripped his face off in a nice mask, threw it in the alleyway, and there was no other signs of Barry besides his skull and face. Like,
you know what? Sometimes when you do what you love, it's not a job. They obviously love killing.
They do. They've killed so many people.
They love killing in Hamlet. Wait, isn't that about killing?
Somebody
dies, like...
There's Hamlet's, probably some killings in it.
I think somebody gets stampeded by wildebeest.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. Hamlet plot. Ghost of the King of Denmark tells his son Hamlet to avenge his murder by killing the new king, Hamlet's uncle. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Lion King.
Yeah, it's
Killing
Lion
Star,
King.
Yeah.
You know what I learned is that you just give John Lovitz the job. Just give him a break.
I know.
Yeah.
Top billing, though, the name of the episode... I don't get it very much. I don't know. What about you guys?
I mean, he was going for the top billing, which would be Hamlet.
Oh, so is that what it makes sense. About?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've never acted. I mean, I have, but nothing. I didn't get paid $250
Life's a
bucks.
Stage, darling.
Right? I wish I got $250. Mine were all like high school.
My two?
Drama, yeah. And then just drama in my real life.
I don't know. What would be a better name for top billing, you think?
I don't know. I think top billing's pretty.
I think, you know, what about like Bits of Berry?
That makes him sound like he's a cereal.
Just fuck Berry.
Fuck Berry. Berry's a bitch.
I would say Lisa, why?
Lisa. Oh my God.
Why Lisa? My baby.
Yeah, I can't think of any other. I think top the Lion King. Good. Yeah,
well, there we go. The Lion King. Done. Well, let's meet this cast. I don't know who this John Lovitz fella is all about.
I bet he's amazing.
Let's start it off at the top. I mean, our main character, Barry, played by John Lovitz. I think everybody knows and Lovitz as him.
Boo.
Nailed it.
John, he started his career off. Oh, man. Okay. 1983's Alvin and the Chipmunks. I didn't see that one coming.
Additional voices in one episode. Good job, John Lovitz.
He was amazing in Alvin and the Chipmunks in 1983. So good. He was also in The Brave Little Toaster. He did the voice of the radio. I didn't realize that.
That movie's too sad. I've really? Not been able to finish it.
I can't watch it.
It's so sad.
He was in Big with Tom Hanks, who I think is in another episode of Tales from the Crypt later. Of course, he was in this episode of Tales from the Crypt, Married with Children. He was in Coneheads and Seinfeld, of course, because everybody is in the show.
Yep.
Hold on. What's this? What's Banjo-Kazooie, The New Adventure Begins?
I'm looking at the same thing. What the hell?
Is it like a kid's show?
A promo VHS.
A promo
tape.
VHS.
Huh. I think I might have had that, actually.
No, you didn't. Come on.
I used to have a VHS that explained the levels of Banjo-Kazooie with a narrator talking. It might have been this. I don't know.
Oh my God. We're going to have to find this lost media.
I don't remember. I also had one that was kind of like a demo reel of Nintendo 64 games, and it showed Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Mm. He was in two episodes of Friends. Mm-hmm. What is he most known for? What do you like? What do you think
Saturday
of John Lovitz?
Night Live.
That's what I think of, too.
Right. Saturday Night Live and The Critic is what I think
the
of.
Critic.
Oh, The Critic, right. Yeah, so News Radio, he took over after Phil Hartman died.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
When was The Critic?
Rest
I don't see it on here.
Boy. Yeah, I don't see it either. Dude, oh, there it is. 1994 to 2001, 33 episodes.
It lasted until 2001?
I'm sure it was just there was like a break. Revival.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, damn.
Surprised there's only 33 episodes.
Honestly.
I'm surprised it isn't as popular as something like King of the Hill.
Yeah, well, to be honest.
Because it was good. He was in a lot of stuff. Lacey's Christmas Do-Over, of course. Love on the Rock. Most recently in 2023, he was in Human Resources. And that's cool. John Lovitz. Let's look at Bruce Boxleitner, played by Winton. What am I saying?
No,
we're looking at Winton. Whatever. It's Winton,
you're
you guys.
It's Winton.
It's Winton. It's your girl. he started things off in a really big show, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Have you guys ever seen that before?
No.
Nope.
All I know is that they got mad that she wore pants. That's the only thing I know about that show.
Ah, that makes me mad.
Same.
It's when things went downhill.
I've never seen Mary Tyler Moore, but I follow Ron Oliver on like Facebook and stuff, and he posts stuff about Mary Tyler Moore show. So I think it's good.
Okay.
He was in one episode of it, so.
Yeah. I mean yeah,
that one episode is definitely good. Got them cheekbones.
He was in Hawaii 5-0 back in the 70s, and the Baltimore Bullet. You guys never heard of that?
Oof. No.
Kenny Rogers as the Gambler. The adventure continues. Kenny Rogers as the Gambler, Part 3, The Legend Continues, again.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Doesn't look like he was in Part 2, though. Weird.
Shilled.
He was in Babylon 5, Snakehead Terror.
He's in Tron, like the first and the second one. I'm trying to see who...
He's Tron.
Is he like the bad guy? Because Jeff Bridges is... Yeah. Oh, he's actually Tron?
Yeah,
I've never
he's
seen
Tron.
The first one.
I haven't seen any of them.
It looks so bad. The second one's good.
I wonder if he played Tron in the Kingdom Hearts game too, then.
He's, like, if you look at his thing, he's done Tron in every Tron thing.
Okay. Yeah, even the Wii game, Tron Evolution Battlegrounds. Okay.
You know that was, like, top peak his performance.
I think you're right. Most recently, he was in Babylon 5, The Road Home. So he's doing more Babylon 5.
I've never even seen Babylon 5.
Neither have I. Next, Nelson, played by John Astin. Man, he did great.
I knew he looked familiar.
Yeah, he's Gomez from the old Addams Family, right?
As soon
as
I heard his voice, I was like, oh. Because I love John Astin's voice.
Dude, it's so good.
Who played Gomez in the 90s movies? Raul, right?
Raul Julia.
Yeah, when I seen him, I was like, wow, he looks like Raul Julia. So they did like impeccable casting for the 1990 Addams Family movies.
Mm-hmm. Those movies are great.
We should cover those sometime. They're really wonderful. You should. He was in 64 episodes of The Addams Family, although he started his career before that in 1957 with Studio One because, oh, no, he's actually still alive. John Astin's still kicking.
Good for him.
I know, right? I almost said, I wish I was still alive.
What the fuck?
If only.
You guys, he was in Silence of the Hams in 1994.
I know, I'm looking. He seems like a comedy actor.
I gotta watch that.
Oh, he was the Riddler. In two episodes of the Batman TV show with Adam West.
He also reprised his role as Gomez Adams in the 1990s like animated Addams Family show. That's
pretty
cool. I love
that animated show.
I haven't seen it in forever.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I loved when I was a child.
No, we know you still watch it.
I'm sure it was good. I do watch Bluey, so.
Oh, I do too. Oh, love great. Bluey.
So good.
He was in a lot of like cartoons. He was in the Aladdin TV series, Real Monsters, Murder. Well, that wasn't. He was in Murder, She Wrote. That's not a TV series or a cartoon, but.
Love Murder, She Wrote.
The Twisted Tale of Felix the Cat. 5 episodes of that. Never heard of it. He was in The Nanny, Recess. Most recently, he was on a podcast called The Midnight Matinee, the Redfield Arts Pod. Oh, I'm going to say this wrong. The Midnight Matinee, the Redfield. He was in a fucking podcast, okay? I can't say it.
He was in As Told Arts by Ginger, okay? Podcast, that's all you need to know.
The Cask of Amontillado.
Yeah, that one.
I'm trying to say it. But yeah, he is. That's awesome. He's still working. All of them are still working. That's so cool.
Well, our next lady, she's not because she passed away in 2022. But Louise Fletcher played the agent, and I loved the way she flossed, so.
Yes.
She was in The One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. She won the Oscar for that movie.
Her last that's amazing. Role was Girl Boss, so.
That's going to be my last role, too.
I hope so.
In 1958, she started it off with Flight. She was in so many things that I don't know what they are, but I think she did great in this episode, and I have seen a bit of One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Did she play Nurse Ratched or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's awesome in that movie. She's terrible.
Iconic.
But, yeah, really great stuff. A lot of stuff in the 90s here. Frankenstein and Me, of course. High School High. Okay.
Another classic.
She was in Cruel Intentions. I remember that. I've never
seen it. That's a movie.
I've never seen it either.
Guys, have you ever heard of the show Joan of Arcadia? She was in that.
I've heard of it. I don't know what
heard
it's
about.
Heard
of it, yeah.
It's about a little girl that, well, it's about a high schooler that can, like, listen to God and she does stuff. I don't remember.
Oh.
Yeah. And like you said, finished it off 2017 on a high note with Girl Boss.
Girl Boss.
Next, we've got Kimmy Robertson, who played Lisa. I love her IMDb picture. Kimmy she looks Robertson. Like she's having fun.
But Lisa.
She started things off in 1982 with The Last American Virgin. She was in The Little Mermaid, the 1989 Disney animated movie. She played
really?
The voice
who
of
she?
The one she was. She voiced one of Ariel's sisters.
Okay. She's got a great voice. She should do a lot more voice work.
She does that voice of Ariel's sister throughout whatever Disney, you know, sequels to Little Mermaid there were. But she was also in Twin Peaks and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah. She's one of my favorite characters in Twin Peaks.
I was going to ask, do you recommend watching Twin Peaks in 2023?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It is fantastic. You just have to know going in that, like, the first season's fantastic and the second season starts fantastic. But then it gets awful.
Okay.
But then it finishes really strong.
Interesting.
Okay. What about the revival?
The revival is amazing.
Okay.
They like really, really nailed it.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, shit. She was in Stuart Little and Drake and Josh. She ended things off so far anyway. Last role was in Ollie and Scoops.
I've never heard of that.
Me neither. It's some
but she's the children's main voice show. Person. That's awesome. Good for her.
She did great. I like her. She looks recognizable to me, so I've seen something that she's in, and I think she does a great job. She did wonderful as Lisa. She broke John Lovitz's heart. Mm-hmm. Last up, we got Beaks, played by Paul Benedict, who passed away in 2008, so rest in peace, Paul. Mm-hmm. And this man has also been in so many things. Started off in 1952, all that time ago, with Guiding Light. Oh, he was in All in the Family in 1975.
He was in Maude. I can't believe you skipped over Maude. And then there's Maude.
I don't know anything about that.
I only know from the theme song, It Goes On Forever.
You guys, he was in 79 episodes of Sesame Street.
Aw, the Mad really? Painter?
You want to know what I've never seen? What? Is Sesame Street. Never watched it before.
What? Never?
Nope. Never seen it.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. I don't know, honestly.
You have to, like, go out of your way to not see any Sesame Street.
But I've done it. I don't know how it happened. He's been in Seinfeld and The Drew Carey Show. So, you know, he's great.
I feel bad. Like, I've never seen This Is Spinal Tap, but I know a lot of people like it. And I don't know if his character is, like, an important character because he's in both of them.
Oh, well, hold on. First of all, I didn't know This Is Spinal Tap was a movie. I thought it was a band. And I didn't
That's
know.
How they get you.
I didn't know there was two of them. He was also in The Addams Family from 1991.
Comes back together.
Ended things in 2008, the year of his passing, with Side by Each, which I don't know what the fuck that could be. Mm-mm. But that's our cast of Top Billing. Do you want to see what's up next? Let's take a look.
Yes, please.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez. The picture for this one has Whoopi Goldberg in it, so...
Ooh, yeah. I'm in.
Okay. This next episode of Tales from the Crypt is called Dead Weight, like W-A-I-T, so they're just waiting. I'm not going to read the description for it because it's like literally forever. It's probably going to summarize the entire episode. So,
okay. Does it include the words gold digger at all?
Let me skim here. I'll do a control F. Nope, it does star Whoopi Goldberg, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No gold digging Goldberg. But yeah, Whoopi's front and center. It looks like she has a conductor's baton, perhaps, in her arms, and she's looking at the camera like, you're about to see some magic, girls.
Okay.
So I'm in. I love Whoopi. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us for Top Billing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. Nobody is going to say it. I constantly just kicked down his door and I said, when can I get back on to talk to Brandon?
That's right. It's been too long.
So, Rachel, what you been up to lately? Plug yourself, girl.
Oh, gosh. So twitch.tv/dumpsta_game is still where I am at. My schedule at work has changed. So my streaming schedule has changed. So I'm actually going to be live like sometimes Wednesdays, but every Friday, like after 10 o'clock. So
nice. Okay.
Put your kids to bed and come see some trash gaming.
I watched you stream last night, actually, because like you said, you streamed on Friday nights. You were playing a really cool game. I think Brandon would really like it. But what's it called?
Passepartout 2. So it's like a little painting game and you do like I am not a good artist. We'll just start with that. It's funnier when you're bad. Because then these people are like, hey, make me a ad for my restaurant. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Here's this beautiful like fish thing. And he's like, no, there's too much going on. And I'm like, what? This is art. Take the art and advertise it.
I saw you draw the Mona Lisa last night.
I did. And then I tried to give it to this museum curator and he said, this is filth. And then I got $1,400 for it. So
nice. So which one is it?
Actually filth.
Yeah. What is, you're filth. Nobody's going to want to go to your museum now.
Yeah. Nobody wants to go to your stupid museum because I had to jump through so many hoops to even get there. And he's like, do you see this beautiful art around me? And it's like, you know, the girl with the pearl earring and like some other shit. And I'm like, yeah, but have you seen girl with red hair?
Yeah. I have.
Yeah. I saw it. I don't want to make this weird. I'm not going to give her like big old, you know.
Tig old bitties, yes.
Tig old bitties.
It looks wonderful.
Like, yeah, Well, my nieces were also watching at one port, and I have just a filthy mouth, so my sister has to, like, mute me so they can watch me play things. Because they're, like, 2 and 4. They don't need to hear what Auntie says to weirdos on the internet.
Well, that's nice. I love it. I can't wait to watch you play some more. I think that's all I got for today, though, you guys. I think I'm out of here. I've been up all night. Thank you so much again for joining us, Rachel. But
thank you.
I'm out of here. I got crap to do today. So, Brandon, I will talk with you next week for the Whoopi Goldberg episode.
All right. I'll be here.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Hamlet!